These days, when we talk about damming rivers in the Pacific Northwest, we're more often than not talking about how we take them off the rivers. But the British Columbia government is sort of moving upstream in the opposite direction. It wants to build a dam over the Peace River, which is in the northeastern part of BC. There's a lot of opposition to that. Vancouver Sun writer Vaughn Palmer joins us once again. Hi, Vaughn.
Hi, Marcy. A nice retro story here. Back to the 1960s when everyone was building hydroelectric dams.
When was the last time that a dam was built in BC?
Well, the big era was the 1960s, the Columbia River Treaty and the dams that were built. And at the same time, British Columbia built some big hydroelectric dams on the Peace River. The last really big one was finished, Revelstoke Dam on the Columbia in 1982, so 30 years. Mm-hmm. They left one project on the table. It's called Site C. It would be the third dam in a row on a stretch of the Peace River in northeastern British Columbia. And it's been on and off the table for a while, but it's back. The British Columbia government wants to start construction on that hydroelectric dam in July of this year. It's a $9 billion Canadian project. It is a great big hydroelectric dam. It's a very retro project, and it is in court this week because a bunch of people are trying to sue the government and block construction.
Well, let's talk about first why the government feels it needs to build a dam right now. What's the rationale?
Because they can.
Is there a little more?
It's really interesting to go through the big announcement of by the government on this, Marcy, but it really was like, this is the last time we'll ever get to do one of these. The river has already got two hydroelectric dams on it, so this is the third one. The third dam would use the storage from the dams upriver, so you build them in sequence and you use the reservoirs above. It would generate an enormous amount of electricity with no greenhouse gas emissions, because it's clean power in that sense, if you overlook the fact that you're flooding a river valley. Mm. And really, the government thinks this is the cheapest way to generate electricity for the future, although it won't surprise you, that is the subject of considerable debate by advocates of wind power and other options.
So I'm assuming the main supporter, aside from the government, is BC Hydro?
Yes, the provincial hydroelectric utility is the one that would build it. They've called tenders for construction on the project. They're talking about building work camps. Having said all that, a court case started this week by a bunch of local landowners whose farmland will be flooded. They're battling it. Local government is battling it. And tomorrow in court, a group of native Canadians are going to court to get the whole thing overturned because the flooding will encroach on their treaty rights.
I'm talking to Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer, talking about a dam that's proposed for the Peace River. It sounds like the arguments against this project are manifold.
Yeah, they're very powerful arguments, but I guess the flip side of that, I'd say, Marcy, is that almost any kind of power generation project runs into considerable opposition these days. You wouldn't get British Columbia being able to build a coal-fired or a gas-fired plant. Wind farms, even they run into opposition, as you know, and wind is intermittent. So I think that's the other part of the backdrop, is that you go, whatever you're going to be building, you're going to get a battle. It's just that hydroelectric dams, which used to be seen as sort of a form of clean power, are, because of the flooding and the amount of footprint they occupy on the land, there's lots of environmental opposition to them as well.
But that is not the legal argument that these litigants are making.
They're making a bunch of arguments. The first one is that the government overlooked its own environmental review legislation. There's the native arguments are even stronger. They have treaty rights. They also have constitutional rights in Canada to pursue their traditional lifestyle, and they're pointing out that it isn't going to be very easy to fish and trap and hunt on that land since it will be underwater.
I know that it's the BC Supreme Court who is hearing the landowner's case. Will that high court also hear from the First Nations?
Yeah, you're quite right, Marcy. And for those familiar with the court system will recognize it's just first round. This matter, all of this, could end up before the Supreme Court of Canada in a couple of years. You know, the government says they expect to start construction in July of this year. along with most observers, I have my doubts. It's entirely possible that you'll have a court injunction against construction, but the government still insists they're planning to go ahead in July without it. In assuming there isn't an injunction.
If there is, will the government appeal?
Yeah, there'll be an appeal.
So
this will be tied up in court, I think, for some time to come. You know, the interesting thing about these projects, the government of British Columbia has already spent, I think, $400 million
wow.
on this project in terms of planning, consultations, documentation, and they haven't built a single thing yet. So that's how expensive these things are.
Well, I can't let you go without an update. Last week, you talked to Ross Reynolds about an oil spill in English Bay, which is Vancouver, the waters off Vancouver. Any fallout from that?
The big fallout is a growing chorus of opinion in British Columbia that the national government made a terrible mistake by closing the Coast Guard station on English Bay. Had that been left open, the Coast Guard could have responded to this leak in minutes rather than in hours. Yeah. And there's an opinion poll out today showing British Columbia's support for the national government. This is an election year, is down. So I think it's a major, major embarrassment for the national government. And, of course, it's undermined support for building oil pipelines into the coast of British Columbia as well. So it's a double disaster for the oil industry.
Something that we have been tracking with you for many years. Vaughn Palmer, thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye, Marcy.
Vaughn Palmer writes for the Vancouver Sun, and he joins us most Wednesdays with news from Canada.